Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the St. Paddy's Day edition of the Savage Nation. Today we're going to talk about Dennis Kucinich, the whore. Play it louder, come on. Forget what I'm going to say, this is better. I'm going to go out and get drunk right after the show, I don't know about you. Welcome to the Savage Nation. It's a religious necessity to drink yourself sick on St. Paddy's Day. Every religion has a day you're supposed to get drunk on. No one knows why, no one remembers why, no one knows if it's true. But what the heck? Since we're a nation without many traditions left, play another one, would you please? Give me some regular Irish music. This didn't work for me. Then we'll get started. Come on, turn that off. What do you think this is? Play some music, some Irish music. An Irishman goes in. We're going to do some bad Irish jokes to start with. Then I'll waste my time talking about Obama, the socialist, Marxist-Leninist, Nancy Pelosi, the Mussolini. She's like a reincarnation of Mussolini in a dress. Who else is it? Eric Holder, the man who never met a terrorist he didn't love. So you see, an Irishman goes into the confessional box after years of being away from the church. And inside the confessional box, there's a fully equipped bar with Guinness on tap. Turn off the music. On the other wall is a dazzling array of the finest cigars and chocolate bars. The priest then comes in. The man says, "Father, forgive me, for it's been a very long time since I've been to confession, but I must first admit that the confessional box is much more inviting than it used to be." The priest replies, "Get out of there. You're on my side of the box." Music, please, on the Savage Nation. Oh, you're quick on the draw today. Are you guys already drunk? With a slow reaction like this, I may as well turn that. That's terrible music. Horrible. Turn it off. Please. Murphy told Quinn that his wife was driving him to drink. Quinn thinks he's very lucky because his own wife makes him walk. An American lawyer asked, "Patty, why is it that whenever you ask an Irishman a question, he answers with another question?" "Who told you that?" asked Patty. "Finnegan, my wife has a terrible habit of staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning. I can't break her out of it." Keenan, "What on earth is she doing at that time?" Finnegan, "Waiting for me to come home." Orion asked the druggist, "Did that mud pack I gave you improve your wife's appearance?" "It did, surely," replied Orion, "but it keeps falling off." An Irishman went to London and found himself in the underground tube late one night. Seeing a notice, "Dogs must be carried on the escalator," he mowed to himself, "and where am I going to find a dog at this hour of the night?" Anyway, you get the picture. I am not in the mood to get excited over Obama, the Marxist-Leninist. Let others who were trying to make their name in radio sweat over that. Because you see, no matter what letters or emails you send, if you do not live in a representative democracy, but you live in an autocracy ruled by a lowlife from the gutters of Chicago who's pretending to be a gentleman, and co-ruled by a Mussolini in a skirt, you can write all the letters you want, my friend, but you're now living in Chavez's Venezuela. But you don't know that yet. You still think he's out for the poor. What you don't know is he's out for his cronies and himself. Now you can play Irish music. I want to talk about Dennis Kucinich, the whore. Let me explain why I call Dennis Kucinich a whore. A, because he is one, and B, because he deserves it. Now, who is Dennis Kucinich? You never heard of him. He is that slimy guy who looks like an undertaker in a Western movie from the ninth, like a 19th century undertaker, like slimy looking hair from Cleveland. He was formerly homeless. He grew up in the back of a car. And Kucinich the whore posed as a left winger who was very principled. He claimed that he would not vote for Obamacare as near as 2 days ago because it was not socialist enough. Then what happened? Obama invites the whore on Air Force One, and immediately Kucinich lifts up his skirts and says, I will vote for him. Isn't this amazing? Isn't it amazing when you actually see what leftists are and how they lack character and principle? Let me give you an example. Many, many years ago, as you know, I was profiled in the New Yorker last May, and I'm very proud of the profile. It's very fair. It's a very fair profile. It shows how complex I am and how brilliant I really am underneath it all. Despite the truck driver loquation, the fact of the matter is there's another soul within it. Not that there's anything wrong with the truck driver. The point is, all right, so they saw the other. Years ago when I was a young lad in New York City, I used to read the New Yorker, and I loved the profiles. And there was one about a guy named whatever. He was a bohemian on the streets of New York. Oh, Joe Gould. Left-winger, hung out with the commies. They all espoused left-wing rhetoric. But Joe Gould was an iconoclast. And he said, you know, they're all big left-wingers until you wave a few dollars in front of their face and they leap over the hedges at the cafe they're drinking in for those dollars. They're all a bunch of whores. And Dennis Kucinich, my friend, this goes out to you. You are the lowest of whores. You're not going to vote for the bill. He flies you on Air Force One, which isn't even his. It's owned by the people. And suddenly you lift up your skirts, your little... Play Irish music on the Savage Nation. Here's another topic I want to talk about. Green makes you mean. A new study says that those who buy environmentally sensitive products are meaner and more likely to steal and shoplift because they think that they're entitled to it. Do you notice this to be false among your liberal acquaintances? No. So don't even call about this. I hear that St. Patrick's Day is a celebration of St. Patrick's, of course, who allegedly drove the snakes out of Ireland. Little did we know they'd all wind up in Congress. All right, no one, I can see you ready. They want me to eat my heart out over the news. All right, here's another one if you're not happy yet. You want to eat your heart out? You tune in to eat your heart out? Here, let me give you something to eat your heart out. Everyone's watching war movies now, only about World War II. We're not allowed to see any war movies about the fight against the Islamo-fascists because that's a real war right now that we're facing. Instead, Spielberg gives you the crap about World War II, where everyone knows who the good guy was. But Spielberg, the brave man who can't get enough of World War II, will not do a movie about the brave men fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan because that would show who the true enemy is, the Islamists. And of course, as you know, Spielberg is a swine, so he doesn't do a movie about the real war that we're facing now. So you see the men fighting in World War II, and you saw what they had to live through, sleeping in 10, 20-degree below weather in the Ardennes forest. Many of them froze to death, or fighting in the jungles of the South Pacific against the Japanese, who were well dug in and familiar with the terrain, facing malaria and facing the most horrendous situations you can imagine, tough as nails. That's what the American boys were like in the 1940s. By the time they came out of basic training, it didn't matter whether they were for an Irish from New York, an Italian from the Lower East Side, or a farm boy from the Midwest, or a Westerner who grew up on a ranch in Montana. They were tough as nails, and they were equal to anyone on the earth. Part of it was due to the training. Well, guess what just came out? Army training has now said for the first time in 30 years, we're going to eliminate running. No more 5-mile runs because it's too exhausting. And get out the bayonets, get rid of them. They're too, let us say, militant. Instead, they're going to give them a new regimen to work their abs. Now, I ask you, I'm not making this up. This came from the Fort Jackson, South Carolina, at the Army's largest training base. No more running. No more bayonet drills, instead honing core muscle groups, including the abs. Now, I ask you something. I want you to look ahead a decade, and let's say, God forbid, we're at war with China, if you could even imagine that, because we're already at war with China and we've lost. But let's say that you actually believe there's going to be a war with China and we could win. Let's put aside the fantasy for the minute and deal with reality, which is they've already won without firing a shot. They read their history. They know how to take over a nation without firing a shot. And since we have enough whores in Congress to have enabled them, there's no reason to even think about it. But let's say there would be a time in the future when we'd be at war with China. Now, picture what went on in Korea. 10,000 Chinese come swarming over a hill and try to swarm our men. Instead of having fixed bayonets and machine guns, they're going to lift up their shirts and scream, "Look out! Look at my abs!" That's the new army under Obama. That's the new sensitive U.S. military. This is the Savage Nation. I want you to play some Irish music for me and for the listeners out there. Again, the same thing. All right. Again. It is. I don't want to take a break yet. I'm just not in the mood. I just got warmed up. I'm just warming up. My head just got warm, finally. Blood finally ran through my head. You know, in about 3 hours, 2 hours and 45 minutes, I'm going to be off the air. And I'm going to go to my favorite Irish bar here on the East Coast, which I'm not going to name. Actually, nobody knows me here. I could actually name it and nobody would know me. They wouldn't even buy me a drink. I'll be right back. Turn it off. I don't want to hear that music. Can you give me some Irish music that's really Irish music, not that stuff you'd hear on a cruise ship? Kill it. Horrible. Get rid of it. I hear that my call screen is getting swamped with robocalls on healthcare. Apparently the Rush Limbaugh listeners, the robocallers, the Republican front groups have gotten through to all of you. Would you leave me alone with the healthcare? We know already. I'm not talking about it. We know the story. You want to listen to some weaselly hack who sounds like Groucho Marx's grandmother after her hysterectomy? Go listen about healthcare. I tell you, healthcare, don't talk again. We know where you stand already. I'm doing Kucinich the whore. I'm doing Pelosi, Mussolini in a skirt. I'm doing things like that. Did you hear about this story that came out? You're not going to believe this. All of you who are interested in race, that'll get you. Now you think I'm going to fall through the ice on that one. All of you who are interested in topics that do with race and racialism. The New York Times ran an article on Tuesday, March 16th, that said a host of mummies of Forest of Secrets, Europeans are found buried in boats in a Chinese desert. Can you believe this? European mummies are found buried in a Chinese desert. They've been DNA tested. Number one, which shows that they do have European origins. Number two, they've been carbon dated, and the inhabitants died almost 4,000 years ago. Yet these Caucasian mummies have been well preserved by the dry air. What's interesting is that the long vanished people who have been found in the Chinese desert have no name. They don't know their origin or identity. But I know that they have long noses, so I'm starting to think maybe they were looking for Chinese takeout. But it's hard to say, I mean, where they came from. First, I thought it was a Noah's Ark in the Lost Ark, and it was searching for good takeout. There was none in the Middle East at that time. And they almost got there, too, strangely enough. But to be serious about this story, in Chinese desert, mummies in a forest of secrets. A 3,800-year-old mummy. Now I'm going to hear from the fanatics who say, now, Mike, the world was created 150 years ago, because my preacher told me that. Don't read that devil worship stuff about DNA and carbon dating. That's the devil at work, Mike. Anyway, a 3,800-year-old mummy, the beauty of Xiaho, found at the Small River Cemetery. What's interesting is how they were buried. And they're Caucasian, a nameless culture, identity and origin still unknown. And the men were buried differently than women. Where did they come from? All the men who were analyzed had a Y chromosome that is now mostly found in Eastern Europe, so they could be Polish. The mitochondrial DNA, which passes down the female line, consisted of a lineage from Siberia and two that are common in Europe. Now, Mike, don't give me any of that DNA stuff. That's from the devil. My preacher told me there's no such thing as DNA. That's the devil's nuclear arsenal, Mike. You talk about DNA, that's the way to trick people. The devil's nuclear arsenal, Mike. The world started 150 years ago, Mike. So this is an amazing story when you think about it. How they were buried. Who are they? They find them across from 4,000 years ago? And in the coffins, they're buried in boats? Can you believe the story? I mean, it's a real story. And how they're buried is interesting. I'm not going to read you the whole story. The women were buried in a very interesting way. At the foot of each pole, there are indeed boats laid upside down and covered with cowhide. The bodies inside the boats were still wearing the clothes they had been buried in. They had felt caps with feathers tucked in the brim, uncannily resembling Tyrolean mountain hats. They wore large woolen capes with tassels and leather boots. A Bronze Age sales clerk from Victoria's Secret seems to have supplied the clothes beneath. Listen to this. We're talking 4,000 years ago, the mummies, are okay? The women, barely adequate woolen loincloths for the men and skirts made of string strands for the women, the early garter belt. And within each boat coffin were grave goods, including beautifully woven grass baskets, skillfully carved masks, and bundles of ephedra, from which ephedrine is derived. I guess the DEA wasn't in China at the time. See, the ephedra was widely used in those times. It was a fabulous medication. And here's the funny part. Here's the sexy part. In the women's coffins, the Chinese archaeologists encountered one or more life-sized wooden phalluses laid on their body or by its side. Could you hear what I just said? I mean, I'm not making it. It's amazing to me. So in the coffins of the women are life-size wooden phalluses laid on the body or by its side. I guess the Christian rite wasn't involved with this one. And looking again at the shaping of the 13-foot poles that rise from the prow of each woman's boat, the archaeologists concluded that the poles were, in fact, gigantic phallic symbols. Now, wait. The men's boats, on the other hand, all lay beneath the poles with blade-like tops. These were not the oars that had seemed at first sight. They were not oars at all. They were symbolic vulvas that matched the opposite sex symbols above the women's boats. So, in other words, the whole cemetery was blatantly sexually symbolized. And in his view, the doctor who discovered this, the obsession with procreation reflected the importance the community attached to fertility. I think this is amazing. And so you got the phalluses in the women's boats, and you got the vulvas in the men's boats, and you got DNA, the devil's nuclear arsenal, and you got 3,800-year-old mummies. And now you have the mummy called healthcare.
Savage.
Bones, 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 for the bones. Send him off to Davy Jones of rum and gold and wench's bone. You had your last fill, Billy Bones.
Billy Bones, Billy Bones, Billy Bones, Billy Bones. So I did the Irish joke.
Good morning,
we called Dennis Kucinich a whore because he's a whore. We called Nancy Pelosi Mussolini in a skirt because it applies. Let's see, who else can we be fine? I'm a biologist by training. And every organism has a Latin binomial, a genus and a species. I mean, what's the point of getting it wrong? In my early days of defining plants, I was taught to be very specific in the genus and species. Now, am I wrong in calling Dennis Kucinich a whore? Am I wrong in calling Nancy Pelosi Mussolini in a skirt? I mean, what, they're different than that. We're losing the country, ladies and gentlemen. We have a gang running America. I'm sorry to tell you this. I mean, it puts me in greater danger than I'm already in. And yes, I'm still banned in Britain. I don't know what it's going to be until I'm banned in America. But you'll wake up one day and hear, radio host Savage banned in America. Although he used to be an American citizen, Nancy Pelosi decided that he's no longer an American citizen because she didn't like his politics. What are you going to do then? About the same thing you're doing now. They realize you're powerless. They realize they can steal the country right out from under your feet. They realize the American people are worthless fools who'd rather watch a baseball game with their hat on backwards or watch internet pornography or God knows what they're doing while this gang from Chicago is stealing the country right out from under their nose. They're going to vote on this, the biggest budget item in history, without a vote. They're going to push it through. We don't need China to take over America. China's already taken over America. And I don't just mean that literally. I mean it figuratively and I mean it literally. Something is wrong with this picture. Now, in addition to the flood of illegal aliens that have swamped America, who are now represented by the Democrats, who have told the citizens to drop dead because right after we push health care through without voting on it, we're going to push the illegals down your throat without voting on it. Then we're going to push cap and trade down your throat without voting on it. And go to hell, anyone who stands up to us will arrest under some trumped up Homeland Security charge. Companies offer birth tourism packages to the United States. More Turkish parents want their children to be born in the U.S. than ever, and tourism companies are offering birth tourism packages to U.S. citizens, cities. So in other words, if a woman is in her ninth month in Turkey, they fly in and we the schmucks, we the stupid morons, we the weaklings of the world, we the idiots run by gangsters, we the schmuck Americans, let them drop the baby on our doorstep, which becomes an instant citizen. You moron, you let this happen. Don't blame me. I've been telling you about it since 1994, and I've been called every name under the sun. I've been banned in a Western nation, and you did nothing for me. Nothing. Limbaugh didn't open his fat lips. Hannity didn't lift the hammer. O'Reilly didn't pick up his corned beef from his mouth. Nobody helped me. I tried it. I don't even talk about it anymore. I'm still banned in Britain. And what are you going to do if they ban me in America on a trumped-up charge? Nothing. And what will a fat liar Limbaugh do? Or Hannity? Or O'Reilly? Nothing. They're pimps for the Republican Party, you fools. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of holding back on what's really going on around you. And that's why I got to tell you something. I did a TV ad where I said schmuck, and it's a station I'm on in San Francisco, KTRB. It's a sports station, right? So I cut an ad where I used the word schmuck, and the TV stations refused to run the ad. I put it up on michaelsavage.com. It became an instant YouTube hit this morning. Listen to it.
Hey, listen to me. Don't be a schmuck. Don't you understand by now? Politics are like sports. Either you're safe or you're out. I call them like I see them. I'm Michael Savage. Don't be a schmuck. Listen every day.
Savage, mornings and all afternoons right. On Extra Sports 860.
Right. Fine. All right. So it's a good ad. All I said was schmuck twice. Now, doesn't it apply to people? Don't be a schmuck. Listen to the Savage Nation. They wouldn't run it. In San Francisco, the most vile city in America. Let me give you an example of how sick San Francisco is and how upside down it is, the leaders, the schmuck leaders of the city. There was a St. Paddy's Day parade over the weekend, and they actually allowed Irish families in the parade. They actually allowed white, heterosexual, married Christian families with children to ride down the streets of San Francisco without stoning them to death. It was shocking. But a scandal emerged because some vermin discovered that members of the San Francisco Parks Department built an Irish float on city time, and they estimated it was worth $10,000. Now, the Parks Department budget is like $21 million or more. Well, they created a false scandal over the time that was spent building the float for the St. Paddy's Day parade, and a civic group is going to pay the cost. But I've not heard such an outcry when, for example, the deviants go down Market Street, hitting each other with chains, masturbating in floats. I know the city pays to have those built. How come there was no outcry then? Everything is upside down in San Francisco, which is why I love it so much. It's why I love living there, because it makes my life easy. They built my career for me. If that city was not so upside down, if that city had a decent representative, if that city had one decent American senator, congressman, mayor, I wouldn't have made a living. If they had a decent newspaper that reflected anything that the families wanted to read, I wouldn't be in business. So I want to thank San Francisco for making me rich and famous. Thank you very much. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. My name is Michael Savage. What else is on my website? You have to see that there's a very, very important story on the website. Oh, so many of them now sound like it's the most important. The important one is the picture of the Russian women in bikinis who were dressed up in blood from the New York Post. I went to the Day in Pictures, and there's a girl in very nice looking, the first and second. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, Russian activists walked past policemen in front of the Canadian embassy during a protest in Moscow to save the seals. Next to that is the biggest idiot in America, Sean Penn, by BigHollywood.com. I used to think that Penn's liberal statements came from a genuine concern for the poor and downtrodden, and did not laugh at that pathetic picture of Penn in that leaky rowboat in New Orleans. The man is a total and an absolute useful idiot. A Stalinist stooge. A Stalinist stooge. But don't call me about him. That's a given. Obama is so desperate that he's using the purveyor of Freddie's Fashion Mart and the Tawana Brawley incident as his advisor. That can be none other than Al Sharptongue. That's right. The disgraced Al Sharpton is now a major advisor to the fabulous, newly improved Barack Obama. Barack Obama is using Al Sharpton to calm down folks in the African-American community who are not buying Obama's lies. So who does he call in? The guy who created the Tawana Brawley affair. where he said that a black woman had been raped by a detective and that she had been smeared with feces. It was all a lie. Came out in court that she made it up with a little help from the bullhorn. And then, of course, there was Freddie's Fashion Mart fire where six or eight people died. The very same advisor was allegedly outside with a bullhorn, but now he's an advisor to the president. It's amazing to me how the country has fallen into the hands of an out-of-control left-wing gang. Then you have the top cop in the country, Eric Holder, the man who never met a terrorist he didn't have sympathy for, who yesterday said to Congress that Osama bin Laden will never face trial in the U.S. because he will not be captured alive. And there was a very interesting interchange between Eric Holder and John Culberson, my favorite congressman, who was grilling him. You got to hear some of these interchanges. You got a shorty there between Culberson and Holder. Play it.
The comparison to are they getting more rights than the average American citizen is not an apt one. The question is, are they being treated as murderers would be treated? And the answer to that question is yes. They have the same rights that a Charles Manson would have.
Now, look how deranged Eric Holder is. Look how deranged our attorney general is. He says that they should have the same rights, even though they're not U.S. citizens. Do you have any idea that this is a reversal of all canons of U.S. law? Do you have any idea that we've been taken over by a radical left-wing mob that actually has sympathy for the terrorists, that they afford terrorists the benefit of the doubt, they assume that they're innocent until proven guilty, and they give them more rights than they give soldiers, our Marines and our soldiers, who might be accused of crimes in a war zone? That's your Eric Holder. That's your government. We are living not only in Alice in Wonderland, we're living in a far more dangerous place. Listen to clip 8.
You said that terrorists have the same rights as Charles Manson, correct?
I said that murderers have the same rights as Charles Manson, and if these people are charged with murder, in essence, those are the kinds of rights that they would get.
And terrorists who have murdered U.S. citizens and approach your Department of Justice is they have the same rights as Charles Manson.
In the sense that a murderer has the right to go before a jury, get the acts that he's charged with proven beyond a reasonable doubt, yes.
So here is a man, Eric Holder, who says that a terrorist not only has the rights of a U.S. citizen, but he has the right to remain silent, he has the right to counsel, he has the right to demand a jury trial, he has all the rights of an American citizen, even though he's not an American citizen trying to kill American citizens. Do you have any idea what a Marxist-Leninist is? Do you have any idea that even Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president during World War II, a liberal Democrat and a socialist at that, found the opposite from Eric Holder, who was so warped in his views that he exceeds even that of the FDR Justice Department, which found the exact opposite? And I will refer the case to you because I remember it very well. It is Quirin et al., I believe, Q-U-I-R-A-N, Quirin et al. Very famous case where Nazi spies were intercepted here in America. They came ashore in Long Island, New Jersey, and they were discovered quite by accident, by the way, not by the FBI. The 9 German spies who came here to commit sabotage were captured, and FDR's Justice Department ruled that they were not entitled to the very rights that Eric Holder says that Al-Qaeda is entitled to. In fact, they found that the Nazi spies were entitled to a military trial, and they were given a military trial after being beaten and given up a lot of information. And about 6 of them, I believe, were executed in the United States of America by the left-wing president FDR. So we had a left-wing president who was at least a patriot. We now have a Marxist-Leninist presidency. We do not know his origins. We do not know where his loyalties lie, but we're starting to get the feeling that they do not lie with the U.S. Constitution. That's what's going on in the United States of America today. And nobody can believe this is happening. Now, what's interesting to me is that you can expect this from Obama. I warned you to get it. You'd expect it from Obama. We knew what we were getting with Holder because Holder had released Puerto Rican terrorists when he worked in the Justice Department for Bill Clinton. So we knew what we were getting with them. But Chuck Schumer from the Sheepshead Bay area of Brooklyn had put on an act for many years pretending to be a decent liberal. Chuck Schumer was never a decent liberal. If you scratch the skin of a liberal, what you find is a far-left Marxist-Leninist. Now, I say far-left, you say that an oxymoron. In a way, you are right, because there are people on the far-left who are actually so far to the left that they're National Socialists, and then they become far-rightists of the type that work with the good old Adolf Hitler. Now, we're not accusing Schumer of being so far to the left that he's to the right. He's just so far to the left that he's wrong. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're talking about the takeover of America by an illegitimate and an illegitimate gang who are going to bypass the U.S. Constitution to force a bill down the throats of the American people that is very, very unpopular. As you well know, the U.S. Constitution was designed in order to prevent Obama from doing exactly what he's going to do with Nancy Lugosi, aiding and abetting him. Basically, people cannot believe they're watching this sleight of hand. They're going around the Constitution. We expect this from Obama. We expect this from Pelosi. But would you think that a liberal like Schumer would take such delight in basically screwing us by going around the Constitution? Would you believe that we're in the hands of an Eric Holder who is violating the rules of the United States of America when he says that terrorists are entitled to a civilian trial with all the due process of a U.S. murderer? He's wrong. What shocks me is that none of the Republicans had the brains or the knowledge, and I'm sorry to say it, to even quote the law. You see, this is why I stay in talk radio. It's to instruct the U.S. congressmen who are actually still trying to do their job. Because if they had asked me, Michael Savage, I could have done a better job on Eric Holder than even the most adamantly American congressman tried to do. All I would have said was, General Holden, are you familiar with Ex Parte Quirin? And what did that say? It upheld the jurisdiction of a United States military tribunal over the trial of saboteurs in 1942. And they said that it's a precedent for the trial by military commission of any unlawful combatant against the United States. And I'll read you the damn decision, you left-wing fanatics, you. The law of war draws a distinction between the armed forces and the peaceful populations of belligerent nations, and also between those who are lawful and unlawful combatants. Unlawful combatants is the operational phrase here. A lawful combatant is subject to capture and detention as prisoners of war by opposing military forces, but unlawful combatants are likewise subject to capture and detention, but in addition, they are subject to trial and punishment only by military tribunals for acts which render their belligerency unlawful. The spy who secretly and without uniform passes the military lines of a belligerent in time of war, seeking to gather military information and communicate it to the enemy, or an enemy combatant who without uniform comes secretly through the lines for the purpose of waging war by destruction of life or property. You understand what we're saying? Now, how does that differ from Al-Qaeda? And we are talking about eight Nazi spies born in Germany who had lived in the United States, who then returned to Germany between 1933 and 1941, who then went to work for Hitler. And they received training at a sabotage school near Berlin. They were taught how to use explosives and the methods of secret writing. And they traveled from occupied France by German U-boat, U-202 to be specific, to Amagansett Beach, Long Island, New York. They landed in the hours of darkness on June 13, 1942. The remaining four Nazis boarded German sub U-584, which carried them to Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. On June 17, 1942, the Germans came ashore during the hours of darkness. All eight of them wore full or partial German uniforms to ensure treatment as prisoners of war. See, they knew how to get around the law, they thought, should they be caught. The Long Island group was noticed by Coast Guard Beach Patrolman John C. Cullen, whom the saboteurs attempted to bribe with $260. Can you believe that, what they would do to him today? But Cullen returned to his station and sounded the alarm. The two Nazi groups promptly threw away their uniforms and proceeded in civilian dress to New York City and Jacksonville, Florida, and then from there to other parts in the United States. Now, they were caught. And they were caught. In fact, Dash and Berger turned themselves into the FBI with some difficulty, since the FBI did not even believe that they were spies. They had to convince the FBI that they were telling the truth. Then the remaining six Nazis were taken into custody in New York and Chicago by FBI agents. Now, what happened to them? FDR convened a secret military tribunal on July 2, 1942, which sentenced the eight Nazi spies to death. The president later commuted the death sentences of Dash and Berger to life in prison because they had both confessed and assisted in capturing the others. You hearing the rest of this? The men were confessed and gave full statements. The remaining six were executed by electrocution August 8, 1942. That is, from July 2, 1942, They were executed on August 8th, 1942. That's because the scum called the ACLU the vermin, the left-wing rats who should be rounded up and tried for treason. The scum in the ACLU did not exist in America. The vermin on the left, the rats who teach your daughter it's good to screw America. The rats in the ACLU should be rounded up and tried as spies. And their assets seized. And their offices closed. And the donors to the ACLU should be arrested as far as I'm concerned. Don't tell me they're an American group. They're an alien group. They're a foreign group. They aid and abet every enemy of this country. Rapists, murderers, kidnappers, terrorists, you name it. The vermin in the ACLU are the reason we're losing this war against Al-Qaeda. In 3 months, the men were electrocuted. And what's the bottom line here? The bottom line is the article of law is called Ex Parte Quirin, 317 U.S. 1, 1942, where the Supreme Court of the United States upheld the jurisdiction of a United States military tribunal over these unlawful combatants called Nazi spies. Nobody cited this case in Congress when they grilled Eric Holder, who took the side as a defense attorney for Al-Qaeda, including Osama bin Laden. Eric Holder worked for Bill Clinton. If you remember the disgraceful tenure he had under Bill Clinton, Eric Holder released 6 Puerto Rican terrorists. Eric Holder was sympathetic to terrorists at that time. Eric Holder is now the top cop in the United States of America. And he said before Congress that they're entitled to a full trial and all the rights of an American citizen. Eric Holder is violating United States law, Ex Parte Quirin 317 U.S. 1, 1942. Mark it down and remember where you learned it. You didn't learn it on the Blowhard Show. You didn't learn it on the Wall Blank Banger Show. You didn't learn it from the Combi Flip. You learned it from Michael Savage. Have a nice moment.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I never stop whipping. There's no beginning, there's no middle, and there's no end. My life is a constant whip operation. My life is a constant whip operation. There's no beginning, there's no middle, and there's no end. I never stop whipping.
So how do you like living in an America where a vicious woman has ascended to such a position of power and she boasts about her viciousness in the form of whipping, I never stop whipping? I mean, you think this is a joke? A woman who is so power mad that she thinks it is clever to get around the U.S. Constitution? A president who is so power mad that he thinks it's a wonderful idea to skirt the Constitution? An attorney general is so power mad that he says that a terrorist is entitled to all of the protections the Constitution affords U.S. citizens when that's a clear violation of a Supreme Court ruling called Quirin et al., which I quoted in the last hour in the Savage Nation, where foreigners who are not American citizens caught committing acts such as Al-Qaeda commits on this soil are in fact not entitled to all the protections of the Constitution, but entitled to a military tribunal and an execution probably within 90 days. That's what they're entitled to, a rope or an electrocution or a bullet through the head. And yet Holder goes out of his way to defy Congress and say, no, they're entitled to the same rights as Charles Manson. Now, how if the top cop in America does not even know U.S. law, do you realize what trouble we're in? And that's because the American people don't know U.S. law. The American Congress doesn't know U.S. law. The American president doesn't know what the U.S. Constitution states, et cetera, and so forth. There we are. It's the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. And now some Irish music, please. Some of the stronger stuff, if you don't mind, for St. Patrick's Day. Not bad. I still love it from the Departed. Who are these guys? The Clancy Brothers? No. Dropkick Murphy. Sounds good. How could Nancy Pelosi have risen to such a high point in the U.S. government? How could this mad woman, how could this power-mad harridan have risen to such a point where real leadership is not shown, where nasty, vicious behavior is glorified with that horrendous, hawkish laugh of hers? Play that again, the whippet thing. Just play it. You can do that. You can hit another button.
My life is a constant whip operation.
All right, let's stop, guys. Okay, I know you've been drinking for St. Patty's Day. Play the Nancy Pelosi piece without the music.
I never stop whipping. There's no beginning, there's no middle, and there's no end. My life is a constant whip operation.
You hear the laugh? This is the kind of woman who laughs at her own jokes. Do I have to say any more than that? Have you met women who laugh at their own bad jokes? Well, you got one running America now. And she's enabling the anti-constitutional Obama administration. Let's go to the callers, okay? Montana. I'm going to start in Montana because Scott's got my attention there. Scott, you're mentioning something about a dream of mine. Scott, what is that?
The first time I really heard you was probably 10, 12 years ago. I was in Hawaii, and you were having a dream or recanting your dream about the rise of the Red Dragon and how China will basically take us over without firing a shot. I can just see it happening and being played out. It's like it's a prophecy. And I just wanted to say you were right on, and I heard your first article. You were talking about China, and then you were talking about the army and relaxing their regs.
Oh, yes, that's right. The new army is relaxing their regimen of combat training, where they don't run anymore. They've outlawed bayonet training. Instead, they're teaching them how to work their abs.
Absolutely. And then, of course, then we look at this healthcare. I mean, any country that really wants to take us over, I'd say, come on in, I guess. We'll just open the doors and lay down.
Well, we've done it for Mexico, haven't we? Janet Reno, excuse me, whatever her name is, Janet Napolitano, I mixed them up for some reason. Janet Napolitano has just eliminated $50 million for the virtual border fence, saying we don't need it. Can you believe this? She's the head of a Homeland Security? Look, my friend, I've had enough of this. Let's go now to the East Coast, New York City. James, WOR calls. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. Long-time listener and first-time caller. Michael, I was calling about, I agree with a lot of your points of view, and I heard a lot of your show yesterday about the health care debate, and while I agree the current health care plan...
Wait a minute, you heard my show yesterday, right? What did I say?
Well, you were debating whether your health care should be the same as somebody who's not in such a good financial...
Well, friend, I know you're full of crap, and I know you're a robo-caller for the Obama machine, because I wasn't on the air yesterday.
Well, then it was 2 days ago. So I'm
oh, really? Let's see. 2 days ago. Very interesting. Okay, so what's your position, even though you're a robocaller?
No. My position is that the current plan has to be scrapped, but that health care costs are growing too quickly. And
well, we agree on that. You're not Einstein. I mean, Einstein. You don't have to be Einstein to know that the medical care system is out of control. But not for the reasons that the Obama machine is saying.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but what I'm saying
I am sure of that, sir. If you actually listen to Michael Savage, Ph.D., in an actual science, who has a lot of experience in the world of healthcare, I have given examples of what needs to be done. Let's start with reining in the scum-sucking vermin called trial lawyers who have bankrupted America in virtually every industry. Why has there been no discussion of tort reform? Because the vermin own Congress. So why don't you address that issue? That's worth $500 billion a year by every estimate.
Absolutely. But I'd say there has to be some...
And what about reining in health care for illegal aliens? Do you think they're entitled to health care?
No, absolutely.
So what are you arguing with me then?
arguing
with
you.
Obama has not said one word about tort reform, nor is there any meaningful attempt to deny health care to illegal aliens. So who do you think is going to take it in the shorts? The middle class is going to pay for everybody's health care.
But what I'm suggesting is that there needs to be a health care plan available that you can kind of buy it. So if you're an entrepreneur, get the health care off of employers so that entrepreneurs you can buy it.
But we all know that that's not what we're getting. What are we getting from Pelosi and company?
No, we're getting crap. But what I'm saying is that get the health care off of employers so that our employers...
Thanks for the call, because none of us are really arguing with that. We're focusing on the gang that is forcing it down people's throats. Buying votes, that's called bribery. You know, any other time in American history when we had a free press, before the garbage called journalists took over the newspapers, the dimwits who couldn't get any other job, the dimwits who lap at Obama's feet, they lap at the crumbs that fall off his skirts, the crap in the journalist profession that would have screamed like bloody murder is gone. We have no Fifth Estate. We no longer have a Fifth Estate. Instead, we have a something else. We have a Fifth Column. I meant to say we no longer have a Fourth Estate. We have a Fifth Column. It's an old line of mine. It's absolutely true. We have lost the Fourth Estate, and we have a Fifth Column instead. You have to know history to know what I'm talking about. Sacramento, California, Kathleen, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Well, you warm my heart, because I'm Irish, but I was going to say, by gosh and by gory, you're selling... Oh, I'm nervous. You can tell that. But I'm out here from back east, and I love the way you talk. I love your soliloquies, and everything you said politically I agree with, and having listened to the rest of the program, I want to throw up and exercise my Second Amendment
right. How do you feel about this gang forcing the largest bill in American history down the throats of the people without a vote? How do you feel about that? Would you ever vote for a Democrat again?
Oh, that is terrible. They're treasonous. They should.
But don't you understand that they don't care, because what they're going to do next is grant amnesty to 30 million Mexicans, Ecuadorians, Salvadorans, and Guatemalans, and then they're going to have the vote for life? Don't you understand their long-term goal is to deny the American people the vote itself? Don't you understand that this is a takeover by Marxist-Leninists?
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I called to tell you how much I love you, because you do tell it like it is. I work in a prison out here in Sacramento, and
you
believe how many...
I'm like the uncle that everybody used to have who told the truth at the Sunday dinners that have gone by the way of the dodo bird. Families got together, and they actually argued over things of meaning. They don't get together anymore, and they don't argue because they're afraid of arguing because they might offend the children, and the children might need therapy the next day if they actually told the child... they disagreed with something the child learned in their education classes.
Oh, they learned that.
I'm Uncle Mike to America, which is why I'm revered and reviled at the same time. This is Uncle Mike Savage, 1-800-449-8255. Be right back.
Savage.
Never stop whipping. There's no beginning, there's no middle, and there's no end. My life is a constant whip operation.
She's hated. The American people hate this woman. She's hated. Do you realize she's the most hated figure in American politics? Now that's saying a lot. It's not because she's a woman, it's because she's a vicious, anti-constitutional harridan. Here's an article that just came out in the New York Post that I have to quote it. I don't like quoting articles. I'm pretty good on my own verbiage. It says, Nancy Pelosi is a coward, a bully, and a hypocrite. And Barack Obama is hiding behind her skirt. So what does that make him? Pelosi obviously can't find enough votes in her own party for Obamacare. So the House Speaker is preparing to approve the president's health care bill by legislative legerdemain, that is, by not voting on it, and to hell with the Constitution. Not to mention President Obama's long-abandoned vow that the health care reform process would be, quote, completely open and transparent. In other words, the president is a big fat liar. You're not allowed to say that about him? Why? He's a liar. He's lied about everything to everybody. But Pelosi is going to employ a bit of backroom alchemy known as deem and pass. Now, how does that work? The House of Representatives, or shall I say the House of Ill Repute, would vote on a few less controversial fixes to the Senate's health care bill. And then on the terms of a special rule, such passage would automatically mean that the House of ill repute deems that the entire bill has been approved. What does that mean? Pelosi says, quote, no one wants to vote for the Senate bill. Did you hear this? So she's going to stand the Constitution upside down, ram through legislation that the American people overwhelmingly oppose, that even members of the president's own corrupt party in Congress don't want. And what's even more outrageous is that Nancy Lugosi and New York Representative Louise Slaughter, who proposed the idea, know full well just how wrong it is. Why? Because 5 years ago, these two harridans and a number of Democrat slime joined in a lawsuit charging that the use of demon pass by the Republicans was unconstitutional. Now, they lost that case, but they lost it only on procedural grounds. The courts never ruled on the constitutionality of so-called demon pass. And the Supreme Court ruled in 1998 that each house must pass the exact same text of a bill before it becomes law. Anyway, the so-called demon pass that this lunatic Slaughter came up with has been used in the past only for routine, non-controversial issues. But to use it to radically overhaul the nation's entire healthcare system, at least one-sixth of the economy, would be a thumb in the eye to the fundamental principles governing the United States of America. It would lead directly to years of lawsuits over its legality. And how that would reduce health care costs and help the uninsured is a lie. Moreover, if this is successful, it will not be the last time it is employed by this gang. You understand what he'll do next? They're going to tear the Constitution up and use it as toilet paper. Obama's going to wipe his butt with the U.S. Constitution. And that's what he went to school for, to learn how to get around it, not to worship it. That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. Read it in the New York Post. I linked it up on michaelsavage.com. They say Nancy Pelosi is a coward, a bully, and a hypocrite, and that Obama is hiding behind her skirts. So what does that make him? Huh? What does that make him? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We've touched on a lot of important subjects today. Dennis Kucinich, the whore, who adamantly said he would vote against health care as near as last Friday. And then Obama took him on Air Force One, the people's plane, and the little whore from Cincinnati suddenly lifted his skirts and said, I'm now going with the big guy. I loved that ride on Air Force One. Even though I pretended to be a socialist, all I really wanted was to ride in the sky with the president on Air Force One. Look how cheap he threw himself over for a cup of coffee, basically, a guy like this. This guy would go down for a cup of coffee. What did Kucinich get? Nobody knows. I say he only got a ride on Air Force One. Monterey, California, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Drew, go ahead, please.
Yeah, that's the exact topic I wanted to touch on. The way I see it, Uncle Mike, is there's basically three options. Either they changed, three reasons why he would have changed his position. Either they changed the part of the bill that he was so adamantly opposed to. Two, they strong-armed him. Or three, they bribed him. Well, the first part we know didn't happen. They didn't change a darn thing in the bill.
You don't have to go that far. Dennis Kucinich is a spineless left-wing liar and phony, in my estimation. He went down for an Air Force ride. That's all he went down for. The guy is a cheap piece of work. All left-wingers are the same. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And if you wave $10 in front of them, they jump over a hedge and lift their skirts. In plain Bronx ease, that's how I see the world. I see the world in very, very clear terms. My brain was not washed in public schools. I was taught in public schools. I was not educated in public schools. I earned a real PhD from a great university when it really mattered. I didn't get one in a Cracker Jack box. My PhD is not an honorary PhD. It's a real earned doctorate from a great university, particularly in 1978 when I earned it. You still had to work for a PhD. They didn't just give them out like they do trinkets inside a Cracker Jack box to anyone who screams that they'll sue the university. No, my friends, I know what's going on. I can see things as they are. And this country is in great peril. America's balance hangs like a loose tooth.
Savage.
General Taylor died long ago. Walk him along, chunk him along. He died on the plains of old Mexico. Carry him to his burying ground. Way, hey, stormy. Walk him along, chunk him along. Way, hey, stormy. carry him to his burying ground.
It is the Savage Nation. It was sad, actually, when you think about it. Eric Holder goes before. I know you're interested in the health care, but, you know, everything's been said. We know that it's a gang. We know that they're basically going to rip the Constitution up and wipe their behinds with it. We understand there's going to be lawsuits, but what I don't understand is why no one has sued Eric Holder's Justice Department, demanding that terrorists be tried before a military tribunal, citing the case that I have referred to on this show, Quirin et al., 1942. That's the law of the land. Eric Holder is wrong, is violating the law of the land in saying that terrorists are entitled to a trial by jury and all of the rights afforded to U.S. citizens. Al-Qaeda is not entitled to that. They are entitled to a military tribunal, and when they are found guilty, they are entitled to a bullet in the head or to be hung or electrocuted within 90 days. That's why we're losing the war on terror, because we have weaklings and liberals who bend over backwards for the terrorists, not for the American people. You know, I have put myself on the line for falsely accused Marines. I've given my own money. I've had you raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for them. My big case right now is trying to help a U.S. Army Ranger who is as American hero as they come, unlike the fake actors in a Spielberg movie. This is the real McCoy. And here's a guy, a U.S. Army Ranger, who is 15 years in Leavenworth, Kansas prison for executing a terrorist who killed two of his men, this village. And they got in a scuffle and he defended himself and shot this man, by my best knowledge. And yet the Army threw the book at him and he has 15 years in jail. You got to help this guy. I've asked you to help him. I don't get a penny from doing this. I'm not looking for any glory for helping him. I know that if I save this man's life, if I can get enough of you to write the Army secretary to let this man out while his case is being appealed, I will have done something very valuable for an important person, and that's the U.S. Army Ranger on my website, michaelsavage.com. I don't have to mention his name again because you've heard it before. I've read his mother's letters on this show, and we've sent her $85,000 through my fund, through your donations, which has helped the mother and father who had to mortgage their house to defend them against the U.S. Army, who has unlimited funds to destroy this man. And your letters and your emails to him in prison are keeping him going. Why the government wants to persecute him, I'll never understand. I don't understand this. I have several congressmen looking into this. They cannot come up with why he is being persecuted. There's something wrong with this picture. And the reason I say that is that when you have Eric Holder getting up before Congress and nakedly defending Al-Qaeda, nakedly saying and proudly that terrorists are entitled to the rule of law and a civilian trial, and that a U.S. Army Ranger who defended his honor and the American people in the field of battle, Lieutenant Michael Behenna, is paying for 15 years of his life thrown away in a prison, and they won't even release him while his case is being appealed. There's something wrong with this government. There's something wrong when you have an attorney general who won't even look at this case. There's something wrong when Congress won't look at this case, when all are obsessed with is forcing a corrupt health plan down our throats in order to steal as much money as they can from us. National debt up $2 trillion in Obama's watch. It took Bush over 4 years to rack up the first $2 trillion in debt, but President Obama, a man who has never held a job in his life, racked up $2 trillion in debt in only 421 days. Here is a low-ranking college teacher who has never run a lemonade stand, who by his own admission has done nothing in life except shuffle papers, a man who has helped all along the way because of reasons I don't have to spell out on the show. You think Obama got ahead because he's so brilliant? He was handpicked by the Marxist-Leninist underground in the United States of America. He was handpicked his entire life by the Marxist-Leninist sleeper cells in the law offices, in the universities, in government itself, in order to become this man that we now have to face off, who is threatening to tear the Constitution up and wipe his behind with it. That's why we're arguing over this. San Francisco, 860 on the dial. Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Yeah, I'm a paramedic on an ambulance. I just wanted to make a point. You mentioned tort reform.
Yes.
This is just kind of a perfect example, okay? We'll arrive to a house, and
yep.
it's Spanish-speaking people only, obviously illegals.
Mm-hmm.
You ask, why are we here? Anyway, through weak translation, you realize, oh, we're here to transport the child that has a runny nose. This is not a life-threatening.
I know, they're abusing it. Don't tell me they all come here to work. They come to laugh at us and spit in our face, rape us, rob us, sell drugs to us. I don't want to hear any sick of it!
So, I mean, that's basically my point, Doctor. I mean, you've touched on these things before, but, yeah, it's just disturbing.
I am sick of the big lie. Everyone's afraid to say a word about him because they're afraid of being called racist. And by the way, let's touch on this. It's why Obama's getting away with what he's getting away with. They found the perfect Marxist-Leninist to push forward the far-left agenda. And they knew that the white people would be afraid to say a word, that they had been nullified through 30 years of brainwashing. This has nothing to do with race. This has to do with an un-American activity. They are using, well, I don't want to blow a fuse today, Michael. You're a paramedic who has to pick up the refuse of society every day of your life in ambulances, correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, it's bad enough picking up drug addicts, bums in the streets of San Francisco, and I've seen the work that you guys do, the EMTs. I've seen you have to pick up people. I can't believe you touch them even. I don't know how you have the guts to even reach down and pick them up. Most of them are very disrespectful to you. Most of them are the dregs of society that did this to themselves. No one did it to them. And now you're being abused by illegal aliens who make you come to the house to take their child to a hospital because they have a sore throat or a runny nose.
The point of is that, you know, our company's standpoint is this. If the patient interprets it as a medical emergency, you will treat it as such, meaning that no matter what education I have, no matter how obvious it is that this is not a medical emergency, that I will transport or I will be persecuted by the company.
Now, let me add, when you say the company, you don't work for the city?
I do not, and I don't even want to mention the name.
I see. So it's a private shyster who runs an ambulance service, and the shyster ambulance company owner gets reimbursed from the city or the government. Is that correct?
Correct, doctor.
All right. Well, I knew about this a number of years ago. A few doctors whispered to me that the ambulance business had been taken over by organized crime. So that's why this is occurring, Michael. It's not happening because they're so caring for the illegal alien. It's because they can bill the city or the state or the federal government, what, $800 for a hospital run?
Oh, way more than that.
All right. Well, you know what? Keep your head down and make sure that the next time you call, you put a handkerchief over the microphone.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, doctor.
Well, yeah, there it is from the street. Now, you know, you want tort reform? Yeah. Go get tort reform out of Obama. You're not going to get tort reform. You're going to get tort reform. Arizona Thomas, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Topic is which?
Hey, Mike. I am a medical student pursuing the anesthesiologist, actually. And I was just curious on what's your take on this health care bill, if I should even pursue becoming a doctor?
Yes, you should, because it's a noble profession. Let me be very clear. Medicine is a noble profession. Teaching is a noble profession. However, you will not be rewarded the way anesthesiologists are rewarded currently or as near as 5 years ago. You will have a diminished income, and so you have to decide if you really want to do this because you enjoy doing it or you love caring for people, and you'll make a very good living, but you're not going to get rich at it anymore. I'll tell you that, Thomas.
Well, that's it. I really do care about people, and what really bothers me is I care about America in general. They don't even know that there's legislation in this bill that they can even put a chip inside of you on page 1,000. It's pretty amazing. It's a eugenics operation, in my opinion.
Well, you can't say that because Obama would say you're crazy. But you read this in the bill?
Well, I actually had somebody forward it to me from, well, I am guilty of being a Tea Partier.
Don't be ashamed of it. Be proud of it. They're the last remnant of the people, the actual grassroots of the Tea Parties. God bless them all. They're on the defensive right now because the administration has unlimited funds to debase the Tea Party movement.
Absolutely.
Anyway, let's go back to your question. In my opinion, as one man's opinion, I'm like an uncle to you, and you're saying, should I go through? And how many years training do you have to go through to become an anesthesiologist? 4 years medical school, then what?
Well, they say 4 to 6 years of residency and specializing.
All right, that's 6 years of slave labor to get into the guild, right?
Yes, and I heard your show the other day. You're absolutely right that it's going to cost an arm and a leg.
That's right. It's going to cost you how much money to become an anesthesiologist? How much will you actually lay out to become a doctor?
We're talking almost 100,000, I would say.
100,000 over the 10 years.
I would say yes, with medical school costs and the residency. Yeah,
you'll make that back within the first year easily, so that's not even an issue. The issue is, how much does an average anesthesiologist make today?
Well, posted online, it would say $250,000. But wait,
that's in a small community, isn't it? But a big city anesthesiologist makes about $1 million or more a year, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
Right. I know the differences depending upon the community you're in. Well, you certainly could live on that money. One way or the other, Thomas, you can live well on either of those amounts of money as long as you're not greedy and you don't think that you're entitled to more. But if you start to get resentful that you're not making the really big money that used to be made, you're not going to be happy in this field.
You know, that's it, because I want to have a job that, you know, can pay well, but at the same time, I'm helping, and people don't understand it. They think it's all about the money. But you don't
have to worry about what people think. People are basically jealous of you because you have the brains and the stick-to-itiveness to go through medical school. So right away, your so-called friends are jealous of you. They're trying to talk you out of it by putting you down. So watch out for who's saying anything to you. You sound to me like a guy who wanted to be a doctor from the time you were a kid.
Thank you. Thank you. I have one last question for you, Doc. You know, your new book, I'm really excited for it to come out, but I was also looking online, Wikipedia and whatever. You know, do you think you'd ever republish the other book? I've heard Death of the White Male.
Oh, I wrote that a long time ago when I'd been shafted by the wonderful, sensitive communists who said that white males need to put their futures on hold in order to make sure that people of color advance over them. No, I don't need to publish that because I've gone way beyond caring about affirmative action. I have become the most successful man in the world because of affirmative action. Because they denied me, I went around them. Because they denied me what I was entitled to, I did 100 times better. You know, if you take a good man and you try to block him, he's still going to be good. No matter what you do to a good man, he's still going to rise to the top. That's all I can tell you. And those who need affirmative action, well, I pity them. That's all I could say. Thanks for the call. It is... Guess what? 46 minutes after the hour, you're listening to The Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Now we're going to play a soundbite from The Whore. Dennis Kucinich. Listen to the weasel, Dennis Kucinich, now, the whore.
After careful discussions with President Obama, Speaker Pelosi, my wife Elizabeth, and close friends, I've decided to cast a vote in favor of the legislation.
You whore, you. Get him off the show. Here is a guy who last week was pretending to be a progressive socialist left-winger. You couldn't buy him. All Obama had to do was say, come aboard Air Force One for a joyride, and all of a sudden he lifted his skirts, and the rest is history. The left wing is the same. I told you before, it's well known that all these, quote, bohemians or beatniks are the cheapest bums on earth. I used to know them in San Francisco. They faked it, all of them. They're always for the working people, but if you went out to dinner with them, they would stiff the waiter and run out and make you leave the tip. There was one guy there whose last name rhymes with spaghetti in San Francisco. Poses as a man of the people, a cheap bum of the lowest order. And they're all the same. Cheap to the penny. Cheap to the penny. They'd cut the check down to the dime. And Kucinich is the same way. You wave a buck in front of him, and right away the skirts are up, and he's already in your bed with you. Play Frito. If you can get Frito for me, you'll know what I'm talking about. While you're looking up Frito.
Fredo off to do this, send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things, I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb, I'm smart, and I want the steps.
All right, do me a favor. Play Kucinich into Fredo, just for fun. Then I'm going to talk
about. In the past week, it's become clear that the vote on the final health bill will be very close.
Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that.
With the utmost seriousness. I'm quite aware of the historic fight, which has lasted the better part of the last century.
All right,
century.
Turn Fredo
off. Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that.
All right, enough already. The joke is over. Now, there's a new series out on HBO called The Pacific, which I'm not watching. The reason I'm not watching it is because Tom Hanks is a left-wing rat of the lowest order. Tom Hanks is a lifetime left-winger who has faked it, made money off the deaths of World War II veterans, and now him and that Spielberg creature put out a thing called The Pacific. And I got to tell you, there's some very good news, because Tom Hanks's big mouth about the World War II was a racist war, and that the war on terror is a racist war, because that left-wing vermin, Tom Hanks shot his mouth off last week. Only 3.1 million people watched the debut of The Pacific. Now you say, well, that's a lot. Well, compare it to the 10 million people who watched the premiere of Band of Brothers. So it went from 10 million in Band of Brothers to 3 million. Now, why did that happen? Why did 70% of the viewers who would have normally been watching a war thing like this that was so heavily promoted not watch it? Why? The answer is because Tom Hanks opened up his left-wing mouth, called World War II a racist war, said the war on terror is a racist war. So the fact of the matter is, the listeners to the Savage Nation watch television. The listeners to the Savage Nation go to the movies. The listeners to the Savage Nation vote. And they're starting to do what they know they can do. They're not watching HBO. HBO has over 30 million subscribers, by the way. Did you hear that? And only 10% of them watch The Pacific. That's including the fact that Spielberg and Hanks, with a tremendously heavy promotional blitz, were unable to get people to watch this. What changed? Well, Tom Hanks and his ignorant and greatly offensive comments, I think, are responsible. He defamed our nation. He defamed our troops who fought World War II, calling them racists. He defamed the men dying in this war on terror. And so, therefore, thank God for the American people, especially for those who listen to the Savage Nation. World War II was fought by many Americans, including some actors. And most of the actors in World War II were heroes in World War II. Jimmy Stewart was a very, very, very highly decorated bomber pilot. There were many, many other actors who were heroic in World War II. Look what we have now. Look at the lowlife, Spielberg and Hanks. They can defame our country all they want. They can spit in the face of your father or your uncle or your grandfather all they want. But you have an obligation to spit in the face of these left-wing slime balls and just turn them off. Don't go to their movies. Just don't go to their movies. $200 million investment to produce this? Don't watch it. Just don't watch it. Just make them accountable for their left-wing commentary. Now, of course, the left-wingers in the media owned by HBO is trying to spin the lousy ratings for the debut of The Pacific. But remember what you learned tonight. Band of Brothers, 10 million people tuned in. Pacific, 3 million tuned in. End of story. 70% of you said drop dead Tom Hanks. And Steven Spielberg, if you're such a great lover of the military, why don't you have the guts to show the men who are fighting the war on terror against the greatest enemy the world has ever seen, the Islamo-fascists? Why don't you stop reveling in World War II? We all know who the good guys were and the bad guys. Well, I shouldn't say we all do. Obviously, Tom Hanks doesn't. Tom Hanks thinks American troops were racists in World War II. But Spielberg, you still have one shot left to prove to your father that you're not the loser that he said you were. Spielberg, you know in your heart, and this will get to you, that your father was not proud of you. You see, Spielberg's father was a bomber pilot in World War II. And he was probably deeply ashamed of his son's left-leaning behavior. Steven, you still have a chance to redeem yourself. Do it.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome
the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountain side.
Well, we're playing Danny Boy because may Edward Kennedy rest in peace. Obama is so far to the left of Edward Kennedy that we're starting to miss him. And I figured on St. Paddy's Day, it's appropriate to remember the good, and even the good of the left. It's one thing to have a liberal like Kennedy, another thing to have a Marxist-Leninist like Obama. Now, some of the other topics today in the Savage Nation included the following. You can turn it off now, they got the joke. Dennis Kucinich, the whore. Now, the reason I'm calling this whore a whore, first, Kucinich said he wasn't going to vote for Obamacare because it wasn't far to the left enough. It wasn't enough of Fidel Castro's health care system. Oh, I'm not going to vote for it. I'm against it. And then Obama invites him on Air Force One, and this little whore, Dennis Kucinich, gets a ride on Air Force One, and like the whore he is, he suddenly says he's going to vote for it. Can you believe this? Here's the communist congressman, once homeless, always homeless, from Cleveland, betraying his own far-left principles simply because he was offered a free ride in Air Force One. This is so true of the left. I've told you this before. They're all left-wingers. They talk a good line, but you wave a few dollars in front of their face, they jump over the hedge and lift their skirts. Now, I could have at least respected him if he stuck to his guns as a communist. But he's fallen in lockstep with his power-hungry comrades, whose main concern is not principle but power. See, if Obama would come out and say, I want to take over the healthcare industry and eventually turn America into a Soviet-style state, then at least you'd know what you're dealing with and you could admire him for his honesty. Then America could have an open debate about whether democracy or communism was the better way to go. But because Obama and Kucinich and Bela Lugosi's daughter know that America is a fundamentally conservative nation, they know they can only lose if they open up to the reality. So they've decided to mince around the edges and say, America, listen, Obamacare isn't socialism. We're just trying to make sure everyone has access, but they won't vote on it. See, when you examine the fundamentals of this bill, the mandatory nature of the insurance, the extreme government regulation, and the takeover of the insurance industry, what you see is layer after layer of government control and bureaucracy. It is Soviet-style communism, pure and simple. Look, go back in history. When the Bolsheviks first took over Russia in 1917, they first went after the czarists and the industrialists. It's true. But after a while, they started going after their own. Trotsky was eventually driven out of the party and assassinated by Stalin. And the same process is now happening with the Democrats. Trotsky stuck to his principles and paid the ultimate price. Kucinich abandoned his principles and got the ultimate price. This is the Savage Nation. Kucinich the whore sold out to Obama today and is going to vote for socialized medicine after saying he wouldn't.
This is not the bill I wanted to support, even as I continue efforts until the last minute to try to modify the bill. However, after careful discussions with President Obama, Speaker Pelosi, I've decided to cast a vote in favor of the legislation. If my vote is to be counted, let it count now for passage of the bill, hopefully in the direction of comprehensive health care reform.
I guess Nancy Pelosi cracked the whip.
I never stop whipping. There's no beginning, there's no middle, and there's no end. My life is a constant whip operation.
Of course, for Obama, this is just the first step in a long march through America. Here is Obama in 2007.
Transitioning a system is a very difficult and costly and lengthy enterprise. It's not like you can turn on a switch and you go from one system to another. It's possible that up front you would need you might need an additional $90 or $100 billion a year.
I don't think we're going to be able to eliminate employer coverage immediately. There's going to be potentially some transition process. I can envision a decade out or 15 years out or 20 years out.
There's no denying that part of the solution in the healthcare arena as we transition and deal with the legacy systems that we've inherited will probably require some additional money.
I want you to hear this amazing interaction between Attorney General Eric Holder, who never met a terrorist he didn't like, and Congressman John Culberson of Texas. Holder thinks terrorists are just like any other common criminal.
The comparison to are they getting more rights than the average American citizen is not an apt one. The question is, are they being treated as murderers would be treated? And the answer to that question is yes. They have the same rights that a Charles Manson would have. Those are the comparisons that people should be making when trying to make the determination about how terrorists are being treated, and not compare them to average citizens who create no harm, who have committed no crimes.
But Congressman Culberson didn't let that go by.
You said that terrorists have the same rights as Charles Manson, correct?
I said that murderers have the same rights as Charles Manson, and if these people are charged with murder, in essence, those are the kinds of rights that they would get.
And terrorists who have murdered U.S. citizens and approach of your Department of Justice is they have the same rights as Charles Manson.
In the sense that a murderer has the right to go before a jury, get the acts that he's charged with proven beyond a reasonable doubt, yes.
So therefore, Osama bin Laden, in your opinion, has the same rights as Charles Manson.
In some ways, I think they're comparable people in some ways.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. This man is our attorney general, or is he the attorney general for Al-Qaeda?
This is where the disconnect between this administration and your mindset is so completely opposite that of where the vast majority of the American people are. This is war. And in time of war, we as a nation have never given constitutional rights to foreign nationals, enemy soldiers, certainly captured overseas.
You know, I remember I once said to you, I heard once when I was in high school, so many things I learned in Jamaica High School because there were smart, commonsensical teachers. And a teacher once said, you know how you don't listen to everything? You're sitting there dreaming off, looking at the girl's ponytail, can't wait for spring, whatever. But certain things come in your head that you never, ever leave your mind, never. And one of them was the statement that the difference between a crazy person or a sane and an insane person is not what you think, but what you do. Many people have so-called insane thoughts, but you repress them. You don't act on them. That's the differential between an insane and a sane person. You follow what I'm saying? All of us get bizarre, nutty impulses in our life, sometimes on a regular basis, but we can control them. Crazy people can't control them. The question is, why are so many otherwise sane people becoming insane or deranged? And the answers are many, but the primary answer is Prozac and Prozac-like compounds. So many people are on these drugs, and these drugs are known to have a high incidence of suicidal and homicidal relationships to them. I don't think that the medical establishment wants you to know it, but it's well documented. You keep repressing urges in a person, and what do you think is going to happen? Eventually, those urges are going to find their way out like water coming out of rock. There's only so much you can trick your mind and your body.
Savage.
Seems that every year we hear stories that schools are running out of money, their budgets are not equal to what they need, and kids need money, and teachers need money, and no school books. But we don't really hear what their budgets are like. And in a lot of cases, what their reported budget and what they actually spend in schools are completely different. Joining us now from the Cato Institute is Adam Schaefer with a report on this problem. Adam Schaefer, welcome to the Savage Nation. How do you see this?
There's no shortage of the stories of districts claiming they're running out of money. It happens in good times, and it certainly is happening in bad times right now, screaming about the cuts. But you're right. We usually don't know what exactly they're spending, and there's good reason for that. The school districts don't make it very easy to find out what they're spending. They don't publicize it. They don't advertise it, and their budget documents are ridiculously complicated. So we looked at 18 districts across the country in the five largest metro areas and the District of Columbia, and found that overall, on average, spending was 44% higher than the districts claimed. So they give themselves a pretty big discount there.
Your report mentioned Los Angeles schools as an example. Why is that?
Well, L.A. was the worst offender in this kind of dishonest reporting of per-pupil spending. They said that they spend about $10,000 per student, and actual spending was over $25,000. So, they're only off 151%, two and a half times and some change, what's that among friends? But, what this does is, when school districts put out these low numbers, they give the impression that they don't have that much to work with. I mean, for a lot of people, $10,000 is a lot of money. But This gives a systematically false impression, I think, to not only the public but the legislators who approve this funding, that their situation is much dire than it really is. And I think, you know, this is something that the American public really needs to wake up to. We're kind of keyed into unaccountability, non-transparent, big government bureaucracies in our life at the federal level, the state level. But people oftentimes don't realize, you know, the school districts, the schools, are the biggest government bureaucracy at the state and local level. They take more money, more state and local tax revenue than any single item on the state budget. On average, it's 27 cents out of every dollar raised at the state and local level goes to K-12 education. For comparison, Medicaid takes only 8 cents. Most of that comes from the feds. So, you know, if we're looking for where to spend money or where we're losing all our money, the schools are where it's at. The schools are the budget buster for the state and local governments, and they're unaccountable. They're non-transparent. The school boards do their bidding because they need the support of school administrators and teachers unions in the elections.
It's widely understood that private schools cost a great deal more than public schools. What did your report show?
We found the exact opposite. And it's not just us saying this. You look at federal government data collected from private schools, nationally representative data. Private schools spend on average and a lot less than public schools. When you look at the typical private school, like the median private school, you find that they spend even less than that. And on average, we found in estimating private school spending compared to public school spending that private schools in these metro areas spend about half as much. And they deliver a lot better service. They do a much better job. People think of private schools and they think, oh, the big prep school costs, you know, maybe $15,000, $20,000. But the majority of schools are small, oftentimes religious, Catholic, or Protestant schools that do a great job, oftentimes with low-income students, for a whole lot less, a fraction of what we spend in public schools. D.C. spends $28,000 per student. You know, and Catholic schools and many Christian schools often spend around $4,000 or $5,000, and do a much better job at educating a child and providing a good, safe environment.
Well, why do you think that is?
You know, a big problem in the difference in the higher spending in public schools compared to private is just what you see in any other government-run industry. It's not a big surprise that it gets bloated and inefficient. You know, we've had a huge increase in the number of personnel. In school districts, most of them are not teachers that have been added. They added an administrator for that, and a director for this, and an advisor for curriculum and technology. They layer on huge layers of fat, and oftentimes build unnecessary buildings with a lot of bells and whistles. Anything you can think of in terms of wasting money happens in school districts. I think people need to understand it's no different than any other government bureaucracy, except for the fact it's the only government bureaucracy that supplies almost 100% of a given service in our society. The only industry that is 90% controlled by the government is education. People are worried about a government takeover of healthcare. Guess what? We already have it in education. So if you're looking for why it's expensive and inefficient and not producing the kind of quality that we want, I think look no further than the fact that it's a government monopoly.
How do you think they can fix the system?
You know, I think the only way to fix it really is to equalize this tax penalty for parents and families who want to choose a private school, who want to choose the private sector. We can do that in a number of different ways. Most people talk about vouchers. I actually prefer education tax credits, which is a way of funding school choice for all families through fully private dollars, and allow them to choose lower cost, higher quality private schools. It would save taxpayers a tremendous amount of money and benefit families even more. The way a tax credit works is it's like a deduction, except for it's a dollar for dollar reduction of your tax liability. So if you're a middle income family, you spend $3,000 on tuition, you have a $3,000 tax bill, that means you pay no taxes. If you're a low-income child, you can get a scholarship from scholarship organizations that are funded by businesses and wealthier individuals giving tax credit donations to those scholarship organizations. So it's It's a way to keep all the money private and invest in education in a way that will produce more efficiency and better outcomes.
Well, what are the chances of that happening?
You know, I guess I have to be an optimist because I work on this issue. But I am very optimistic. Education tax credits, especially the donation tax credits that are for low-income children, have been very popular in recent years. And Florida, Arizona, Pennsylvania have long-running, very popular programs. Florida is a really interesting case. It's become bipartisan, the support for the education tax credit down there. Last year, they expanded the bill with 43% of Democrats voting for it. And that's a huge advance in the past 8 years. In 2001, when the bill was passed, they got only one Democrat to vote for it. So now they have the buy-in from almost half of all Democrats in the legislature. You see the other thing, the same thing in Rhode Island and Iowa, both passed education tax credit bills with Democratic-controlled legislatures. You're seeing a lot of movement here, and education tax credits seem to be an extremely popular and fiscally sound, cost-effective way, especially in this fiscal crisis, to improve education while actually saving money at the state and local level.
Adam Schaefer, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks so much.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Al Gore's return to push his global warming scam soon after the East Coast was hit by one of the worst blizzards in years. In a recent article with Forbes, Dr. Henry Miller suggests maybe Gore suffers from an actual mental disorder other than liberalism. Dr. Henry Miller, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, delighted to be with you today.
What is your educational and professional background, doctor?
I'm a physician and molecular biologist. I was a researcher for many years. I was at the National Institutes of Health for 3 years and at the Food and Drug Administration for 15 years and had the misfortune to cross paths and cross swords with Gore and his acolytes and aides and government on a number of occasions.
Your article actually focuses on the question, is the former vice president not so secretly a narcissistic, shameless phony?
I think there's no doubt that Gore meets the diagnostic criteria for narcissistic personality disorder. And let me back up for a moment and say that the criteria come from the official psychiatrist's Bible, which is called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. And we're up to the fourth edition of that now, and it's known colloquially as the DSM-4. And it provides diagnostic criteria for what are considered to be mental illnesses, mental aberrations. And the criteria for narcissistic personality disorder include these elements: a grandiose sense of self-importance, second, person who's preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love, a person who believes that he or she is special and unique and can only be understood by other elites who are similar. Third, a person who requires excessive admiration. And fourth, a person who lacks empathy, is unwilling to recognize or identify with the feelings and needs of others, and demonstrates arrogant, haughty behaviors or attitudes. And many of these characteristics are so obvious in Al Gore that they were the subject, many of you will remember, of the wonderful send-ups on Saturday Night Live, the parodies of Al Gore that we're all aware of and we're so amused by.
Well, how does Gore fit the criteria?
Well, taking these elements, these critical elements, one at a time. And I should, before I attribute these to Al Gore and illustrate how he meets them, I should point out that many politicians exhibit similar characteristics. And personality disorders, overt mental illness, are really part of a continuum, a spectrum. While some people are like Gore are unequivocally in the category. There are others who demonstrate one or other of these characteristics to various degrees. So it is all a matter of degree, but I think that that Gore and a few others in Congress, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Chuck Schumer's, are really excellent examples, paragons, if you will, of personality disorder. So again, taking the elements one at a time, a grandiose sense of self-importance, Gore has illustrated with his claim that he'd been instrumental in creating the internet, and but much more serious are his delusions about issues of science and technology and environmentalism.
Hmm.
Over the years, as a congressman, senator, and vice president, he's endorsed various anti-technology tracts and criticism of technological advances. So he did a jacket quote years ago for Jeremy Rifkin's anti-biotechnology treatise, Algenae, calling it an important work. But as a legislator and as vice president, Gore had very bizarre ideation about science and technology, saying that that it was too bad that we had detached religion from science. But of course, the era in which science and religion were inextricably linked was, for good reason, known as the Dark Ages. And he's written a great deal over the years that again vilify the science that he doesn't agree with, and are really quite bizarre, often placing science and technology at odds with what he calls the natural world, and by inference with the well-being and progress of humanity. Second point, the preoccupation with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, etc., and the belief that he's part of an elite, that it has the all the answers. The you see this as particularly in Earth in the Balance, where he assumes that only he and a small number of other elites have the solutions to the world's problems, primarily, of course, global warming. And he's just very peculiar on, again, on scientific issues.
Oh, don't get me started.
And those who disagreed with him in the government, and I was one of them, were either ignored or harassed or even purged. The third criterion is requires excessive admiration. And we saw that in government with Gore surrounding himself by yes men, basically, by people who agreed with him, who would do his bidding, but without any consideration of the value of the marketplace of ideas, where new theories, new data would influence one's thinking. And of course, he's been a politician for virtually his entire adult life, with the exception of the period recently since his defeat to George W. Bush. The last point is a relatively subtle one that those of us who have interacted with him saw best, and that's that he lacks empathy, is unwilling to recognize or identify with the feelings and needs of others, and demonstrates an arrogant, haughty behavior or attitude. Of course, some of that was parodied on Saturday Night Live, but some of the small things, I think, are illustrative. When I and others have testified before committees in the Senate that were chaired by Gore, he had an extremely irritating and rude habit, and that was that after he'd ask a question and the witness would begin to answer, he'd begin a whispered conversation with an aide next to him or behind him, and when the witness would pause so that his or her remarks could be heard, Gore would wave dismissively and say, "Just continue, just go on," and then resume the conversation. So it was the message there is unequivocal. It's that not only am I not interested in what you have to say, but I'm not even going to pretend to listen to it. So extremely rude and extremely haughty. Illustrating that compliance with that criterion. And we see in Gore's writings how patronizing, how haughty, how arrogant he is constantly. And we've seen that again on global warming, the gross exaggerations of his movie An Inconvenient Truth and his exaggerated statements about global warming constantly, including that op-ed in the New York Times recently that stimulated my writing the response op-ed.
If Gore was a patient, what do you think the best approach for treating him would be?
Well, personality disorders don't have good treatments, at least good chemical treatments, the way that we can treat bipolar disease or schizophrenia these days. And so what psychiatrists attempt to do, and I add quickly that I'm not a psychiatrist, although I was trained minimally in psychiatry in medical school. What they try to do is, through psychotherapy discussion, try to impart insight to the patient so that he achieves the ability and the motivation to alter his behavior, to recognize that he has problems that make him difficult to get along with, that make him disliked and mimicked and ridiculed by people. And so they try to alter those behaviors. But Gore hasn't shown any ability or motivation or recognition that he has any of these problems. And frankly, it's difficult as a physician to criticize somebody who, in effect, has a mental disorder, which may be partly nature, partly nurture. But he, among others who are similar, are so irritating that it's difficult not to criticize and not to dislike them.
Dr. Henry Miller, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, delighted to be on the Savage Nation.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. Here are the headlines on my great website, michaelsavage.com, with almost 2 million uniques a month. Topics that we were talking about today is St. Patty's Day. They say that the St. Patrick's Day celebrates St. Patrick, who drove the snakes out of Ireland. Little did we know that all of them wound up in Congress. And it's true that St. Patty's Day is today celebrated in America primarily by white, heterosexual, Christian Europeans. And so liberals today have tried to stop you from celebrating St. Patrick's Day. In fact, in San Francisco, at the St. Patty's Day parade over the weekend, some left-wing scum figured out that the city workers in the Parks Department helped build a St. Patty's float. And they figured out the man-hours involved were about $10,000 worth of city funds for the Parks Department. They demanded it be returned. How come they don't have such outrage when they have the leather parade with people masturbating in the streets and beating each other with chains? How come there's no such righteous indignation then in the city of San Francisco? Another topic was Big Sis. Big Sis, who has given us so much more security, has just decided to cut off $50 million to defund the building of the border fence. I guess she's hoping to boost the number of illegal alien voters before November to make sure that her boss gets reelected. There was an interesting article on the Wall Street Journal page by James Taranto. He said the reason Obama's unhappy is that he's omniscient and benevolent. Doesn't he deserve to be omnipotent too? Now, what's interesting to me is that I was the first one to psychoanalyze Obama, and I don't get credit for it, which is fine. I don't really care who gets credit for it. But the latest effort to psychoanalyze Obama comes from Fred Hyatt, editorial page editor of the left-wing Washington Post. And he offers a theory about why President Obama is having a tough political time right now. He doesn't seem all that happy being president. But Taranto says Hyatt gets it backward. Obama isn't having political difficulty because he's unhappy. He's unhappy because he's having political difficulty. or as the president put it himself the other day in a speech, the American people want to know if it's still possible for Washington to look out for their interests and their future. They are waiting for us to act. They're waiting for us to lead. And as long as I hold this office, I intend to provide that leadership. I don't know about the politics, but I know what's right. In other words, he knows what's right. And he cares so much about the American people that he'll tell them what's right, whether they want it or not. Yes, he keeps coming up against delays and obstructions. Where's the fairness in that? Well, it's called America. He's not a dictator. The fact of the matter is most Americans feel that Obamacare scares them to death. They even voted a Republican into the U.S. Senate from Massachusetts named Brown. An independent Women's Voice poll of voters in 35 key swing districts, all represented by Democrats, now finds that 60% think Congress should scrap Obamacare and either start over or give up entirely. A plurality of them say they'd be more likely to support their congressman if he voted for Obamacare in November and against it now. Obama knows what's right, and he keeps telling us, but we refuse to get the message. Well, you get the picture. The fact of the matter is he's a deity, and the fact of the matter is we don't like deities in America, no matter what their name is. Another topic was Army training has changed under Obama. For the first time in 30 years, the training of our soldiers has changed. Bayonets are out, running is out, and ab blasters are in. That's right. Did you hear this one? They say that they no longer need to train people to run. They're nixing five-mile runs, they're nixing bayonet drills in favor of the more politically caponized zigzag sprints and honing core muscles. I guess that'll help in hand-to-hand combat to show your abs. It certainly works in the gym, doesn't it?
It's the NASA training plan.
I just can't believe who took over the military. We're becoming like the Portuguese military now under Obama.
It's becoming weak,
overweight, listless sissies going into the military. The Marines still get the real men. We know that. And the elite institutions still get the best. But the Army? Let's leave it at that. They can't run 5 miles? That's really going to help in a future war with China to show them your abs. What are they going to do when the Chinese come charging at them with 10,000 men? They're going to lift up their shirts and say, but wait, I've got better abs than you? You want to go back to Obamacare? Fact check. Premiums would rise under Obama plan. Duh. New immigrants avoiding big city study finds. Well, of course. Where else can you sell black tar heroin? The market's covered in big cities. You got to spread it out through America, right? Michelle Obama's favorability rating is down. That's right. According to the Rasmussen reports, 55% of U.S. voters now have a favorable opinion of Michelle, down 5 points in early Feb. That includes 25% who view her favorably. I don't know what's going to be favorable about the woman. Do you think anything she's ever said is real? Do you think that's the real Michelle Obama? ACLU sues government over drones. That's right. So your military is now being run by pockmarked perverts in the ACLU instead of the military. All these stories can be found in one place. They're all collected for you. One place and one place only. MichaelSavage.com. And by the way, while we're at MichaelSavage.com, have you seen the infamous Savage Schmuck ad that the TV stations would not run?
Oh, that's a great one. I played it on the site this morning.
It's only 15 seconds long. I mean, it's the infamous Savage Schmuck ad. You see, I started on a new station in San Francisco February 1, right? So we cut some TV ads, and in one of them, I did this version. You ready? Listen to this one.
Hey, listen to me. Don't be a schmuck. Don't you understand by now? Politics are like sports. Either you're safe or you're out. I call them like I see them. I'm Michael Savage. Don't be a schmuck. Listen every day.
Savage, mornings and afternoons on Extra Sports 860.
I say, don't be a schmuck, okay? Listen every day. So the TV stations turned it down, and they made me do the same ad with the schmuck out of it. Well, that's kind of dirtier. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. A little Irish music, Ray.
Bear, a long time ago, way back in history, when all there was to drink was nothing but cups of tea, along came a man by the name of Charlie Mox, and he invented a wonderful drink and he made it out of hops.
He got to be an admiral, a sultan, or a king.
Here's another couple of headlines from Michael Savage. Pelosi to trick health scam into law without a vote. Eric Holder says we'll never get Osama alive. He's never met a terrorist he didn't like. Speaking of terrorists, 5 more Muslims were charged with planning terror attacks. 5 more Muslims? You mean they're not Irish Catholic nuns? Shocking. Just shocking. A survey says 1/3 of doctors could quit if Obamacare passes. I would leave medicine if I were a doctor. I told you who you're going to wind up with. Third world doctors that are worthless.
One.
How are you going to make money under his system?
Three.
And that's it from MichaelSavage.com.
Hey, Mike, the main is Admiral of Sultan Oregon.
I like to goof around a little bit because, after all, radio is primarily an entertainment medium and you got to keep people interested. You know, people get distracted easily. They can listen to music, sports, this and that. So if they are doing me the privilege and the honor of listening to my show, I got to deliver on the goods.
It's only 8 and 8 in the pot and 1 and 6 in tax. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
God's will and your listenership, I shall return.